The plains of Patagonia in Argentina are dry and rugged. Almost every bush bristles with thorns. But where the plains meet the Atlantic Ocean, there's an explosion of life. Armies of sea animals haul themselves ashore to breed and to bear young. In this NPR National Geographic radio expedition, NPR's Christopher Joyce visits a biologist who's been studying the behavior of one of the most charismatic of these animals, the penguin. She is both fascinated and disturbed by what she's found.
Hi, I'm Dee Boersma. We're standing at Punta Tombo, Argentina, where there are hundreds of thousands of Magellanic penguins. They're calling and announcing it's time to be up and around.
Imagine a vast and unruly schoolyard at recess. Penguins everywhere, 2.5 feet tall, sharp-beaked, and curious. Every summer, after 9 months at sea, they claim this 10-mile-long stretch of coastline. Dee Boersma is from the University of Washington. She's been coming here with support from the Wildlife Conservation Society for 21 years to find out what penguins do on land and what they need to survive.
Well, certainly it's a megalopolis for penguins. I mean, it's just about as dense as you can possibly imagine.
Boersma has a bowl of sun-bleached hair and a look of having walked thousands of miles outdoors in hard weather. Watch where you step, she says. The ground is cratered like the surface of the moon. Penguin nest holes. It's easy to trip or stumble on a penguin.
Look at that guy. See how he's turning his head? That's that aggressive display that I was talking about. Head turning from one side to another to tell us that we're about close enough and he owns that place.
The male digs the nest, usually under a bush. Then he posts himself nearby and brays.
And you can hear the sounds, all of the males advertising, saying, come look at this wonderful nest site here. Take a look at this. This would be a good place for you to move in. And not only are they monogamous, but many of these birds are faithful. We've had some pairs that have been together for 17 years. This is kind of interesting. Here you've got the male and the female, and look at, he's trying to get her to come into that nest. We call this kind of a circle dance. He's going to try to circle around her with his neck bent.
But it's not all wine and roses. Penguins sometimes do ritual battle. It's called bill duel. When they get really annoyed, they'll whack each other with their flippers. And in their happier moments, couples sing duets. Boersma has attached numbered tags to thousands of these penguins, sometimes called jackass penguins. She's found that many return every year, sometimes to the same nest. To prove that, she's had to return year in, year out, literally following in the bird's footsteps, whatever the conditions.
Well, we're not going to be looking along this beach. Look, you can feel the sand hitting against our back. It's just too windy.
Sometimes the wind shakes the trailer where Boersma lives so hard it wakes her up at night. Back in the shelter of the hills, Boersma strolls among nests, looking for tagged penguins. Who's in what nest? Who has a mate? Who's got a chick?
He's down in a hole, right?
He's certainly down in a hole. And his number is 21940.
The number tells Boersma this penguin was tagged 17 years ago. The tag is coming loose, though. She takes what looks like a shepherd's crook, reaches down into the nest hole, and gently but firmly pulls the penguin out, feet first.
Well, it
comes out pretty easy. But you have to hold him up high on the head, and he's really strong.
The feathers are soft, the eyes large and glassy. Boersma crimps the ID tag back into shape.
And I'm going to just walk him back in his nest. There he goes.
Sometimes Boersma attaches electronic tags to penguins to track their foraging trips out to sea. She's found that adults are going farther than ever, hundreds of kilometers sometimes, to get food for their chicks or for a mate tending a nest egg at the colony. Many don't come back at all. Boersma says the colony's population appears to be falling. She worries that the growing fishing fleet in the South Atlantic is taking the fish and squid the penguins eat, or that climate change has altered ocean currents that bring food from Antarctic waters. The chicks are fledging now, leaving the nest for the open ocean. They need to be well-fed and strong. Foxes and giant petrels, birds with a 5-foot wingspan, prey on the unwary.
We don't know if they'll survive. They're just so small that they're easy prey.
Rebecca Gamboa is Boersma's chief assistant this year. She says back in the States, she used to worry about her hair and her nails. Now she's crawling over lime green penguin guano to snare a chick.
Oh, baby, you're just teeny and you got down on your chest. We can't band him, but we'll co-tag him. Has he been fed? Well, maybe if he'd stayed home, he'd get fed.
Gamboa and an Argentine student, Lucas Sinopoli, capture and measure penguins every day. It's slow. There are snakes. It pays nothing.
And you think, oh, they're so sweet. Look at those little flippers. But I have bruises on my arms from those little flippers. And it's good because this is what they need to do to survive.
Gamboa has been here for almost 6 months, and she says she doesn't want to go home. At the beach, Boersma sits on a rocky cliff and does science the old-fashioned way, watching.
There are probably about 600 or 700 penguins that are covering the beach right now. This is penguin rush hour.
The beach looks like a houndstooth blanket. Penguins stand almost flipper to flipper. Some are molting, discarding old feathers for a new coat. Chicks fight their way through as the adults peck at them.
And they just seem to be driven to go down through all of these adults in spite of being pecked and eventually get into the ocean and fly off through the water.
In water, these birds are transformed, as if they are laughingly showing the fish what swimming really can be. Out at the tip of Punta Tombo, a spit of old lava juts into the sea. A blowhole in the rock collects the surf and casts it up into the air, like a metronome keeping geologic time. Boersma says gulls have replaced the thousands of cormorants that once roosted here, gulls drawn by human activity farther along the Patagonian coast.
You know, whenever you see wild, pristine area like this, you think that it's not really touched by humans. But everything on our planet in some way is modified by humans. I mean, what we don't manage, we manage by default anymore.
Boersma's research helped convince oil companies to move shipping lanes to give penguins a wider berth. The colony here is protected by the Argentine government. But Boersma would like to see some of the ocean protected as well. It's not just for the penguins' sake. The birds are monitors. Their migration patterns, their feeding habits are clues to what's happening hundreds of miles out to sea.
My sense is it's a lot easier if we use seabirds to tell us things about the environment because they're like little oceanographic platforms. Unfortunately, we don't use them nearly enough to tell us what's going on in the environment.
Punta Tombo is an oasis for ocean travelers, she says. The penguins and sea lions and whales and cormorants that return here every year all have stories to tell, but you have to know how to listen. For Radio Expeditions, I'm Christopher Joyce, NPR News.
Radio Expeditions is a co-production of NPR News and National Geographic. Tomorrow, the journey along the coast of Patagonia continues. Photographs and video from this trip are at npr.org.